Apologies to the brothers and sisters who are waiting. So, today's topic is the Islamic perspective on holidays. Living in this country, it seems that every month there is a holiday that has paganistic origins, and whether it may be Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's, Easter, Valentine's Day, they all have paganistic origins, which would mean that Islamically, it would not be permitted to celebrate that holiday in any way or form, irrespective of how innocent it has become. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Muslims, we have two holidays, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And although these are considered the holidays, and this is a time for Muslims to enjoy themselves, but at the same time, it is also considered ibadat, meaning that one must stay within the parameters of the Islamic teachings. That just because it is a holiday, it does not give one an excuse to do something which would be against and khilafu sharia. So, I know food is waiting downstairs, so I'm going to be very brief with this. I'm going to just jump right into it. Is it a sin to celebrate Valentine's Day? So I think this, and this is not something that I concocted, it can be found online, this information. This is the history of Saint Valentine's Day. You know, because it is February, I thought that this is a relevant topic to go into. Since I have been asked this question last year, that Mufti Sahib, is it jaiz to give your wife a gift on Valentine's Day? I go, I told the person that, why Valentine's Day? Why can't you give a gift anytime? You know, you don't have to restrict it to Valentine's Day, that just because, you know, everyone else is celebrating Valentine's Day, so okay, let me also give my wife a gift and show her regard on Valentine's Day or any other day. So the history of St. Valentine's Day, it started in the Roman Empire. This is where a lot of paganistic beliefs started. It started in the Roman Empire. In ancient Rome, they had a holiday on the 14th of February to honor Juno. And Juno was the queen of the Roman gods and goddesses. The Romans had many gods and many goddesses. And there was a god of thunder and a god of God of the sea. They had many gods. So the Romans also knew this Juno as the goddess of women and marriage. Under the rule of the emperor, his name was Claudius II, Rome was involved in many bloody and unpopular campaigns. And this person, he was the emperor, and he was known as Claudius the Cruel as well. So he was having a fairly difficult time getting soldiers to join his army. So many men, they didn't want to participate in his expeditions. So this made the emperor angry. And he believed that the reason for this is that the men, they didn't want to leave their families. Right? They didn't want to leave their families, and more specifically, they didn't want to leave their wives. So as a result, this Claudius, he decided that, you know what, I'm going to cancel all the marriages and engagements in Rome. So many people thought that this was very cruel of him, right? Because this would be wrong. They would not be giving their right to their spouses. So at that time there was a saint, and he existed by the name of Valentine. He was a priest. He was a priest, Badri. And he did not like the emperor. Emperor and him didn't get along. And this was very common that, There was sectarianism with the state and religion. They would always keep it separate. Eventually, it was separated. And so he and this another person by the name of Saint Marius, he aided the Christians of Rome. And he secretly married couples after this emperor passed a law that there can be no more marriages. So he would isolate himself in a candlelit room with the bride and groom. And then he would go through the khutbah of nikah, you know, all the nikah, words of nikah. And he would listen to make sure that there were no soldiers in the vicinity. So one night he heard the footsteps of the soldiers, and the couples that he was marrying at the time, they escaped. He was caught. They found out, you know, karwai hi gayi, and this person was caught. And for this action, this Saint Valentine, he was dragged to the prefect of Rome. Okay? And he was condemned and he was beaten to death, and his head was ultimately cut off. This Saint Valentine. This is Saint Valentine I'm talking about. So he was then thrown into prison, and many young people received the news that, you know, this has happened. So they threw flowers and notes from their windows. And one of the young people was the daughter of a prison guard. So her father allowed her to visit the Saint Valentine in the cell. Okay. And sometimes they would sit and they would talk for hours, and she helped him as well, you know, keep, this was prior to his death. You know, before they cut off his head and killed him, they jailed him. So she agreed that he did the right thing by ignoring the emperor and going ahead with the secret marriages. So the Saint Valentine, he was attracted to her. He became attracted to her, and he left a note before his death. He left a note thanking her for her friendship and loyalty. And then he signed it, "Love from your Valentine." Love from your Valentine. And this is what is taught in schools. We say, you know, love from your Valentine, and it's preposterous. So Saint Valentine, he died February 14, 269 AD. Okay. Since then, people from all over the world, they would commemorate this day as Valentine's Day. They would remember it as Valentine's Day. And at that time, it was the custom in Rome that, and this is a very ancient custom, that they would celebrate in the month of February. February 14th, they would celebrate, and sometimes they would, the names of young women, they were placed in a box, and there was, and their names would be drawn, and then that woman would be the spouse for that man for that night. Right? So, now Valentine's traditions, a lot of traditions that we see nowadays, and they're still being followed. And although it may not have these paganistic customs, but it did originate from paganistic beliefs. And to tacitly follow them even would be tantamount to shirk. It would be tantamount to shirk, even if one knows that it is, you know, this is something that has become innocent now. It's become commercialized. But not knowing about the origins of it doesn't necessitate that, you know, this is something which is permissible and Islam accepts it. So people in England, they were influenced by Valentine, and they went, you know, they would sing a verse that, "Good morning to you, Valentine, and curl your locks," and some nonsense like that. And in the Middle Ages, young women and men, they drew names from a bowl to see who their Valentine would be. I mentioned that as well. Now, from the history of Valentine's Day, we have to acknowledge that Valentine is not just the name of a holiday. In fact, this Valentine was a man whom the Christians believed to be a saint. He was a saint, you know, big time scholar. Moreover, the history of Valentine is based on shirk. It is all shirk. And in addition to this, the actions committed by young women and young men, these were acts of fornication, which is haram. Islam, this is not recognized. It is absolutely, unequivocally haram. Islam is a religion of peace, love and unity. And Islam, we have no special day to express gratitude and love. There is no special day to express our gratitude and love to our consorts. In fact, We should express our love to our consorts, our children, our parents, our elders, each and every day. There is no special day. There is no Mother's Day. There is no Father's Day. Every day, we should show consideration to our parents, to our consorts, to our children. And we should show our love. The Rasulullah ﷺ, he explains in a hadith that when we show love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And the hadith is very famous that بَيْنَمَا كَلْبٌ يُطِيفُ بِرَكِيَّتِهِنْ كَانَ يَقْتُلُهُ الْعَطَشُ. That there was a dog who was circling a well and thirst had nearly killed it. And what happened? There was a woman who was involved in lewd acts. And because the love she had for this dog, she provided this dog water. And she removed her shoe and she quenched this dog's thirst. And as a result of that, she was forgiven for her sins. Right? So we should show love to our loved ones every day. And we shouldn't restrict it to a particular date. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in al-hadith said, وَلَسْتَ تُنْفِقُ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ بِهَا حَتَّى اللُّقْمَةَ تَجْعَلُهَا فِي فِمْرَأَتِكَ. That, and you spend not upon your family seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that you are rewarded for it to the extent of placing a morsel in the mouth of your wife. Even that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards a person. This is sadaqah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the person for this. So, due to the fact that the foundation of celebrating Valentine's Day is based on kufr and shirk, this celebration is haram and prohibited in Islam. Now, another question that I commonly get is Christmas. You know, there are many physicians, and they ask that would it be permissible for me to give a gift on the day of Christmas or the Christmas Eve? So I said that it should not be restricted. We should not limit ourselves to give gifts on the day of Christmas, because this is tacitly celebrating the holidays with them, which is prohibited. It is not allowed. So it is not permissible to greet nor wish one's Christian neighbors or colleagues well on Christmas Day, because this would be involving oneself in celebrating Christmas. So to say Happy Christmas or Hanukkah if there's a Jew, the fuqaha, the jurists, they have stated that there is a possibility that one can lose his iman, because this person, he wishes the adherence of other faith well in their festivities, and this is complacency towards kufr. It is not allowed. We cannot show apathy and complacency towards kufr in anywhere, in any form. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states, enter into Islam completely, wholeheartedly. There is no room to celebrate any pagan holiday in any way or in any form. We should have full confidence in Islam. We should not feel ashamed. We should not fear inferior. There shouldn't be an inferiority complex. We should not be ashamed of our religion in any way or in any form. Allah, this is the best religion. So what do we have to feel ashamed about? There's nothing to feel ashamed about. We shouldn't feel uncomfortable to explain our stance to those who are non-Muslim. Rather, they would respect us that much more, that this person is a strict adherent to his faith. If we explain with wisdom, with tact, with love and sincerity, then there's no reason why this person cannot accept. The people, you know, the Hindus, they don't celebrate, you know, they banned it. They banned Valentine's Day. Because it's very simple. Each qawm, each nation, they have their own tahwar. They have their own holidays. And they don't expect other religions to celebrate those holidays. They don't expect them to, because their beliefs are different. So then why should we expect ourselves to celebrate Christmas? Even by saying to our Christian neighbor that, you know, Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas, or Happy New Year's. Even New Year's, I wrote something on that as well. That, I mean, just because we think that, you know, displaying good character to non-Muslims does not mean that we should compromise our Islam in any way or in any form. We should feel comfortable. We shouldn't compromise our beliefs. We should not compromise our Islam. If you're going to give a gift on Eid. So the person recognizes that, yes, this person celebrates Eid. This is our holiday. Give a gift on that on that day instead of giving on Christmas. That doesn't mean we're bad people. We just don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas because we don't believe that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. We don't believe that. We don't celebrate Easter because we don't believe that Jesus died. And I mentioned this last year as well. That Easter, it revolves around the whole death of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Easter, April. And we celebrate it thinking that, you know, this is, there's nothing, there's no harm in it. But the origins of these holidays are all paganistic. And they're all shirk. The prehistoric calendar, the new year is one of the oldest holidays. And this dates back to the prehistoric era. The new year history itself forms an extensive area of study. At present, we celebrate, or I should say they celebrate New Year on January 1st. And the earliest instance of New Year, and this can be found online. I just looked up the encyclopedias, so it's not something I'm making up. It's found in the Mesopotamian culture, which was about 2000 BC. And it was the Romans who recognized this March 1st as New Year Day. And they celebrated it because this was the date of the vernal, equinox. They would worship gods on that day. So this is just a history. The Israeli term for New Year's night celebration, Sylvester, was the name of a saint and Roman pope who reigned during the Council of Nicaea. I could go on and explain the Council of Nicaea, but I'm sure everyone is looking forward to the dinner. So the year before the Council of Nicaea convened, Sylvester convinced Constantine to prohibit Jews from living in Jerusalem. At the Council of Nicaea, Sylvester arranged for the passage of a host of viciously anti-Semitic legislation. All Catholic saints are awarded a day on which Christians celebrate and pray tribute to the saint's memory. December 31st, it is Saint Sylvester's Day, hence celebrations on the night of December 31st are dedicated to Sylvester's memory. It was in the Gregorian calendar established by Pope Gregory the 12th that the new year was firmly positioned on January 1st. It was readily accepted by the Catholics and then by the Protestants and soon became a holiday recognized by the entire world slowly and steadily. And these people just commercialized everything. So now that, what we can take from this is that it is apparent that the history of New Year, it traces back to beliefs of pagans and their gods and Christian motivations. A Muslim should be sensitive to his faith. He should be averse to anything that is contrary to Iman, to his Islam. Celebrating New Year of the Gregorian calendar has its roots in shirk and Christianity. It is therefore not permissible to celebrate New Year or wish others a happy New Year as well. Furthermore, it is a norm for people to celebrate the end of the year and welcome the New Year through music, dancing, winning, etc. It does not behoove a Muslim to be in such an environment, especially when celebrating New Year has its roots in kufr and shirk. For us as Muslims, we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal, and this is each month has its distinction, as mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ. We should teach our children the importance of the months, the Islamic months, because by understanding and knowing which Islamic month it is, we understand that there are many ibadat, there are many worships that revolve around those Islamic months, which carry great merit and reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. We should guard and protect ourselves from the influence of kufr, shirk and sins at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and ability to do so. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallahu khairan. Celebrating birthday.